So good morning everyone, and thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your online worship. My name is Lisa Holmes and I'm the lead minister at Skipton Baptist Church, not far, just up the road in fact. I'm married to Mike and we have two older teenagers, two cats and a black whippet called Jess, so that's probably pretty much all you need to know about me this morning. I wonder how many of you on a Saturday morning put on Radio 2. Part of the show there's this very short clip called The Mystery Voice. And so they just play this really, really tiny clip and people have to call in with their guesses as to who it is. And some of them literally last for months. They are so hard to decipher, whilst others are just guessed in a matter of weeks or even hours. Then there's ITV's somewhat crazy programme, The Masked Singer, where individuals perform songs in incredible and bizarre costumes, and the judges, who are equally bizarre, have to try and work out who is singing behind the mask. Both of those examples are about recognising someone's voice, and so is this story that we are looking at this morning. Perhaps one of the main weaknesses of this chapter is that we are somewhat used to the Sunday school version. I mean, it's a fab story to tell kids, it's about a child, and it has lots of repetition in it, so please don't think I'm criticising that. It's just that sometimes we forget to look at it again as adults. So the story is that Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli's supervision. According to the historian Josephus, Samuel may have been about 12 years old. We don't know that for sure, but at 12 years old, a Jewish boy's bar mitzvah took place and they had that transition between childhood and adulthood. So it kind of makes sense that he may have been about that kind of age. These were challenging times for the people of God. The word of the Lord had been rare and there were not many visions. This was a time in Israel's history when they were out of communication with God. There was the occasional prophet, such as the man of God in chapter 2, but generally no prophetic words from God to Israel. And this was not a good thing. In Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." And that's definitely what was happening in Israel at that point. There was no revelation from God and people just did whatever they wanted, much as we experience in our own times. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, it says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine through the land. Not a famine of food or a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of the Lord." And there is a sense of judgment in God's silence, the withholding of his word. And it's about to change. Samuel is the first named prophet since Moses. And with this calling, God instituted the prophetic office to operate alongside the kingship in Israel. As we read the story, we can see that the details around Eli, the high priest, are quite symbolic and really represent what is going on in the culture. Eli's eyes are weak physically, but he also seems to have a weak spiritual vision. Eli didn't seem to be very discerning when it came to spiritual things. For example, he thought that Hannah was drunk when actually she was desperately praying in the temple. And he did nothing when his sons made a complete mockery of the priesthood and committed all sorts of atrocities, forgetting their role as priests in Israel. Fading eyesight, fading vision, symbolic of a time in Israel when the word of the Lord was rare. But before you despair too much, we are also told that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. The priests were required to keep the lamps burning in the temple every night from evening until morning. It says that in Exodus 27. So this detail places the timing of Samuel's call late in the night, perhaps shortly before the dawn, and gives us a ray of hope, even at the darkest moments. The word of the Lord was rare, but God had not given up on his people. The lamp of God had not gone out. So get your imaginations working with me for a moment, will you? All of Israel has settled down for the night, and the high priest, Eli himself, is lying down in his own place, away from the responsibilities of the temple. The nation is in a state of visionless sleep, oblivious to the voice of God. Even as the temple sinks into darkness, however, God has not completely forsaken Israel. A single lamp illuminate Samuel sleeping dutifully beside the ark. This is the first time the Ark of the Covenant is mentioned, but it's going to become very important in subsequent chapters. And we should pay attention to where they are sleeping. While the high priest lies in the comfort of his own room, the boy lies near the very symbol of God's presence. And this contrast identifies Samuel as the glimmer of light in an otherwise dismal situation. And it is precisely in this moment of transition from day till night, a moment characterized by ambivalence and ambiguity, that the word of God strikes. And that's so often true, isn't it? It's often in the transitional times, the liminal times, where we're on the threshold of one thing and another, the betwixt and the between times, that we are most open to and most likely to hear the voice of God. And God speaks. Not to Eli or to his sons, who are the expected people who would hear from God, but to a child. It's so unexpected that Samuel repeatedly fails to recognise it. In fact, it says in verse 7 that the word of the Lord has not yet been revealed to him. But from the very first time he hears the voice calling his name, he is responsive and obedient, which demonstrates something of the quality of his heart. Now, too many of us have watched those dreadful Hollywood movies where whenever God speaks, there's some kind of weird sound effects, or what I call angel music, or a voice that sounds something like the actor Brian Blessed. But look here, when Samuel heard God's voice, he thought it was Eli, the one who'd been like a father to him, who, despite his imperfections, had taught him everything he knew about the Lord and of worship. The person who he knew best and trusted best. So yes, it takes Eli a while to work out that it's God speaking, but hey, it is the middle of the night, and God hadn't been saying that much recently. Oh, and it gives hope to the rest of us when we're a little slow on the uptake and fail to recognise God speaking to us the first, second, or even third time. But he does eventually realise and give Samuel some very wise advice. Next time you hear him calling Samuel, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So here's a few helpful things to remember. It's always good to make sure you're spending time in the Lord's presence. Samuel was lying by the ark, close to God. It's always good to expect that God might want to speak. We have a God who longs to communicate with us and is very persevering in getting through to us. A great prayer that we might want to use is the same one Samuel used. "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." But then you actually do have to actively listen and not nip back to your phone to check on Facebook. In our context, we need to check out everything we believe God is saying with the whole of Scripture. Is it consistent with what God has already said and the kind of things he says? Does it sound like the Lord you encounter in Scripture? So are you up for a little Hebrew lesson this morning? The word here, Shema, means hear. The root of that is what we see in the name Shemuel, Samuel, God hears. But it's also the word used for listening, the same root there, Shema. Hearing is, if you like, physical listening. But listening is the activity that ensues when we really, truly hear. But that's not all. The word for obey is pretty much the same as the one for listen. Because when we truly listen, then obedience is the heart attitude and godly behaviour is what follows on from that. Are you still with me? Now, for any of you with children or dogs, I'm sure that you will get this. Because I am speaking to my children does not mean that they are even hearing, although optimistically I choose to believe that they are. It most definitely does not mean that they are listening. In fact, "are you actually listening?" often creeps out in my communication. And because they have listened and can repeat the words verbatim that I've just said to them does not necessarily mean that they have heard. For example, the many times I have asked for the washing up to be done, the recycling to be taken out, or the bedrooms to be hoovered, and several hours later have to own up to the fact that listening did not translate into action, obedience. So was it truly listening? The kind of listening the Lord longs for in us is a listening that leads to obedience, where hearts are touched and actions are transformed. When those around us cease listening and responding, then we might stop speaking. After all, what's the point? And that's what happened in those dark days in 1 Samuel. It's not what we want or need right now. Of course, God has spoken primarily through his son Jesus, but he's still looking for those who will listen to him and obey. So let's just briefly finish the story, because we find here the perfect model for giving and receiving God's words. Eli asked Samuel to tell him God's word, hiding nothing. It's a very tough word for Samuel to share, which is why I think he maybe wasn't less than 12 years old. But Samuel faithfully tells him everything God has told him, leaving nothing out. Eli humbly receives God's word, saying, "Hear the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." Eli recognises that what he's hearing from Samuel is what the man of God has revealed to him already in 1 Samuel 2. There is a consistency in the message. Listen, how many hours have we all spent on Zoom in these past months or other equivalents? One of my never-ending experiences, and I'm sure that yours, is this. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? No. I can see your lips moving, but you're on mute, followed by, if you just press the space bar, or if you click on the mic icon, etc, 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 fill in the rest yourselves. Of course, if like me, you are often the host of the meeting, you can choose to mute people. This is the best thing that's ever happened to many church pastors. I jest, of course. But the other thing that happens to me is that I've often been listening to music on my headphones plugged into my laptop, and then I join a Zoom call, the headphones lying on the desk, and I can't hear because I am no longer plugged into the sound. So when God is speaking, can we hear him? Now listen, I don't think he's on mute, though he says that there are seasons when the word of God is heard more often. More challengingly, have we muted him? We don't want to hear what he's saying. We close the scriptures. We don't pray. We aren't listening. Or are we just being a bit foolish or unaware and we want to listen, but we need to work out why we can't hear? Finally, sometimes we know that God has spoken. He is speaking. But we'd like him to move on and to say something else to us. We don't actually like what he's telling us. And the truth is that hearing needs to come with responsive obedience. Often it's our obedience to what God has already revealed that will unstop our ears to what he then wants to say to us. This is a time when we need to hear the word of God personally, nationally, and globally. We are inundated, overwhelmed even, with words, opinions, podcasts, online content. Sometimes I feel like I'm drowning in it all. And what we need most is the voice of the Lord. So I encourage you to set up a space metaphorically close to the Ark of the Covenant, a place where you know you go to meet with God, to encounter him, to read scripture, to listen, to wait, to give him time, and to ask him to speak to you, knowing that your heart is ready to be obedient to him. And if he says, forgive that person in your life, change your attitude, serve your community, love your neighbour, sacrifice whatever it is, or something else that sounds like Jesus, then do it, because that truly is the message of 1 Samuel chapter 3. And this morning our greatest prayer might be, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. For you personally, for the church where you congregate, even scattered, and for us together as God's people in our nation at this time, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. and that we hear and listen and obey with all of our hearts. It's been lovely to share with you this morning. God bless you in all that you are doing together in Leeds. It's really thrilling to see what God is doing among you.